As we continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew today, you will keep in mind that we were thinking with you about those parables which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples to describe the correct attitude they ought to have in relation to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Time will not permit us to review all the parables at which we have looked, but in our last study, we were looking at the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And again, we will not be able to review what we have said up to this point, but as we resume our thinking about this particular parable today, we want to re-emphasize what we said to you in the closing moments of our study together last, and that was that all of these virgins, all 10 of them, had something in common. They all had lamps. The lamps, we said to you, were representative of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But something else must be brought to our attention concerning the lamps, and that is the lamps represent a witness. As a matter of fact, perhaps the lamp is used more often as a symbol of witness than any other one thing. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now you will notice the word candlestick in verse 15. Neither doth a man light a candle and put it on a candlestick. Or he puts it on a candlestick, rather. That word candlestick would be better translated a lampstand, a stand upon which a light is placed. Now notice the thrust of the meaning of the word light in the entire paragraph. It stands for a witness. You don't put your light under a bushel. You use it where it may light up the house. You don't put your light under the bed. You use it where it might light up the house. You use it so that the things that are round about may be illuminated. And likewise, when you use the light as a symbol of your witness and your testimony, your witness should be such that God would be illuminated, the truth of God would be made clear, and God might have the glory. There's no question then in my mind that the lamp in the parable of the 10 virgins represents a witness. If you need additional amplification of that, I call to your attention the second chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The word candlestick is used again, but here it is a lampstand. Each church is represented as a lampstand, a source of witness, and that is what must be kept in mind with the five wise and the five foolish virgins. But again, someone might well say, but remember, we're talking about five wise virgins, we're talking about five foolish virgins. I can understand how the five wise virgins would have a witness, but what about the five foolish? They did have lamps. Did they have a witness as well? Yes, they did. And it is important for us to keep in mind that every individual, whether he be professor or possessor, can have a witness. Will you keep in mind that at the moment we are not talking about the church, the bride of Christ? We have emphasized to you before that the church, the bride of Christ, is a living organism into which men can only be born. They cannot join, they cannot be added to in the sense that men vote them in or out. It is an organism, the body of Christ. True, it manifests itself within the local church, but let us keep in mind that we are talking in this parable about the kingdom of heaven. And early on, in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we reminded you that the kingdom of heaven represents the sphere of Christendom upon the earth. So everybody who has heard the gospel, everybody who has made some kind of profession, would be included in the Christendom, not necessarily in the body of Christ itself. So you see, each one of these individuals did have a lamp, and each individual who had a lamp could give a witness. Individuals who join the church, that is the local organized church, and live a good moral life, teach a Sunday school class, serve on the official board. They have a testimony. They have a testimony in the sense that morality is better than immorality. They may even get up and tell people how to be saved without being saved themselves. And will you keep that in mind, please? God honors His Word, no matter who the agency that brings the Word. God honors the Word, even though the man who gives the Word may not believe it, because God has said in His Word that His Word will not return unto Him void. He doesn't say anything about the servant. True it is that they that bear the vessels of the Lord must be clean. It would behoove every person who stands behind the pulpit particularly and preaches the Word, it would behoove every person who gives out the Word to live a life that is commensurate with the demands that the Word of God makes. But hear me again. I want to reemphasize that even at the risk of being repetitious, it is possible for an unsaved individual to give out the Word of God and people hearing that Word be saved. Keep in mind the parable, the statement, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in our last study when people appeared before Him at the judgment day and said, Lord, I've done this in Your name, I've done that in Your name, I've done the other in Your name. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You may have done it in My name, but you do not know Me. Let us emphasize that all of these virgins had lamps, but the significant difference between the wise and the foolish virgins was not related to the lamps, but to the oil. Now, on a surface reading of this parable, you might think that these five foolish virgins had oil in their lamps, but did not have oil in their vessels, because the statement says, the parable says, that the five wise virgins had oil in their vessels. But a careful reading of the word would cause us to realize that the five wise virgins had the oil, and the five foolish virgins had only the lamps. And so oil becomes highly significant here in our discussion as to what was the difference between the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five wise virgins had the oil, as is indicated by the statement of the five foolish virgins, give us oil. Our lamps will not burn. Our lamps are going out. Oh yes, they trimmed the wick and they made ready for the appearance of the bridegroom, but the lamps could not continue burning because they did not have the oil to make them burn. Just as individuals who put forth human effort in relation to the things of the Lord eventually run out. It takes the oil. Did you notice what these five foolish virgins said to the five wise virgins? Give us oil that our lamps might burn. And the five wise virgins answered, that's something we cannot do. And we'll talk about that a bit more in detail later. But I would like for us to settle in our minds the symbolism of oil in the Word of God, the significance of oil that is taught in the Word of God. And I begin by saying that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins lies in the fact that the five wise virgins possessed the Holy Spirit and the five foolish virgins did not possess the Holy Spirit. You may say, well now, how do you know for sure that oil is representative of the Holy Spirit? Well, again, let us let the Word of God comment on the Word of God. And we call to your attention what is recorded in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, a vision which Zechariah himself had. We will not take the time, of course, to read all of the passage of Scripture in which the reference is made. But if you will notice, in verses 1 through 4, there is described a candlestick which was fed by oil so that there was a perfect witness and testimony. The oil came from two olive trees, according to the vision that stood by the candlestick. And in the interpretation of the vision that was given by the Spirit of God, verse 14, keep in mind, of the chapter, identifies the two olive trees as two anointed witnesses who serve God in that particular era of time about which Zechariah wrote, a future period of time, which is fulfilled, in summary, in the book of the Revelation with the testimony of the two witnesses. So there can be no question but that we are talking about witness. There can be no question that when we are talking about witness, we are talking about lamps, and when we are talking about the thing that makes the lamp burn, we are talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Notice what is recorded here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou what these things be? And Zechariah said, No, Lord. Then he answered and said unto me, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Notice now, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit saith the Lord of hosts. Here we are told that the thing that makes possible the removal of obstacles in the path of the Christian is the power of the Holy Spirit. There can be no question then that the oil in the lamps of Zechariah were symbolic of the Holy Spirit. This figure of speech is carried on over into the New Testament, and you will notice in verse 9 of Romans chapter 8, the apostle says, Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Listen carefully. I will not be saying words in all of my ministry. I will not be saying words in all of my messages to you that are more important than what I want to say right now. You are a lamp. There is no question about that. If you are giving forth a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you being a lamp must be very careful that you have oil in the lamp, because if you do not have that oil in the lamp, then you are a mere professor. You are not a possessor. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, if you please, then you are a mere professor, not a possessor. For here it is, as plain as plain can be, the Holy Spirit is proof of your relationship to Christ. The Apostle Paul emphasizes that same thing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you'll notice that fact. You believe, you hear the message, you believe the message, you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart, and the Holy Spirit is the seal, the proof that you belong to God. The question which you must face today is one we all face. Am I indwelt by the Holy Spirit? That's the only assurance I have that I am a born-again believer indeed.